I just want to take 5 minutes just to summarize some things and to hopefully encourage you. I've been praying about this morning, and I felt God lead me to Philippians chapter 1. So if you'd like to look in your Bible, if you've got it on your phone, we're going to read verse 3 to 11. It'll come up on the screen, and I'd just like to make 3 points as I look back on the year and also then look forward to 2026 with all of you, all right? And Paul writes, and he says this to the Philippian church: I thank God, my God, for every remembrance of you in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart. For all of you are my partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness for how long for all of you with the tender affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? Paul praying for this amazing church, the Philippian church. And I just want to make a couple of points. First of all, he starts and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And whenever Paul thought about these people in Philippi, his heart response was one of joy and extreme thankfulness. He was naturally grateful to them for their partnership in the gospel, but he was most grateful to God, who worked in these people such kindness that was reflected in their care for him and also for each other. And so he says he prays with joy. And it's remarkable to me that Paul says that, because if you remember, he's in prison at this point in his life. And remember, it was in Philippi that he sang with Silas, and the prison doors were flung open miraculously and they were released. And one of the theologians, a guy called Morgan, says this: this is Paul's great singing letter. It was at Philippi that he sang in prison until midnight in the company of Silas. Now he is again in prison, this time in Rome. And as you read this letter, he is still singing. He's still full of joy. He's still full of thankfulness for what God has done through this amazing group of people. And so I want to say, I'm not in any way saying that I'm like Paul in any way, but when I think of you, my heart is full of joy. And in the midst of a hard year for many of you, there's still been great joy in this place. Every time we get together, you've all brought great joy to each other, and you've brought great joy to me, and you've brought great joy to Jesus. And I want to thank you for that. Secondly, it says, he talks about the generosity of this church, and they had been incredibly generous towards Paul, the Philippians, both when he was with them and when he was away from them. And you can read that in Acts 16, when he was with them, verse 15 to verse 34. And then again, he speaks about when he was away from them in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. And he's just so grateful for their generosity. And he says, you know, you didn't have very much yourselves, but out of your poverty, great generosity welled up from within you, and you have been generous in every way. I think that's absolutely beautiful. You know, sometimes we think when we have lots of money, we'll become generous. Well, if you can't be generous with a little bit of money, you're never going to be generous with a lot of money. And he says, out of your poverty, when you didn't have very much yourselves, out of that generosity welled from the inside, and you were generous to all of God's people. Amen? And when I think of this year, looking back, and it's been mentioned in all the testimonies already, I want to say thank you for your generosity. I want to say from my heart, thank you for your generosity. And I'm not just talking about your care for my family and Helen over 25 years, and you've loved us and cared for us in the most amazing way, and I'm so grateful for that. But rather, I want to thank you for your generosity in your friendship for each other. And I've seen great friendships in this church continue to develop. I've seen home groups go away together. I've seen people praying for Ryan and Mandy and visiting them every day while they're in this crucial place in their lives. I've seen people invite hundreds of others into their homes, and I mean literally hundreds of others into their homes, and take care of them and love them and say, I want to be with you as a friend and walk with you. I want to thank you for your generous friendship to each other. I want to thank you for your generous response in worship and prayer. When I look back on this year, I just think of glorious times of worship, amazing times of worship, where the roof has come off. You know, we have to be careful of how loud it gets in here, and we've got mufflers for you if you find it too loud. You know what an amazing thing is for me is that it's the most loudest when people are singing. Oh, it's wonderful. So wonderful. You can measure the decibels by the loudness of the singing. What a wonderful thing. Why? Because we've got something to sing about. Thank you for your generosity in worship. Thank you for your generosity in prayer. Thank you for your generosity in local mission, in international mission, and we've spoken about that. Thank you for your generosity in servant-heartedness. Helen's mentioned so many of you serving in one team or another. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as we look forward to 2026, we trust for another great year. Thank you for your financial generosity. We'll feedback next year, but at the end of 2023, year end, our income was $350,000 for the year. At the end of 2024, that's the last financial year, $420,000. So the income went up substantially at the last financial year, and this financial year is also looking like it's going to be a good year. Thank you for your generosity. Even when it's been tough, even when you've had little, you've still given. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. And Paul's language, he says, if this is partnership, and he thanks them for their partnership, their friendship and their partnership. And what I most appreciate about what Paul says is they didn't wait for him to be successful before they supported him. Right from day one, they said, we're going to support this man, Paul. We recognize there's something of God's call on his life, and they did that. And I want to thank you for those of you that have been part of this church from the very beginning. You didn't wait for us, for Helen and I, to prove ourselves and to come with this big successful ministry and you think, oh, well, now we'll get behind them. When there were just two of us in a room, you got behind us and you know who you were. And this year, all of you that have joined this church have got behind us without waiting for us to be seen as being successful or this church to be successful. I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Amen. And then Paul, looking forward, he says this, and he who's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And he recognized that this is a work of grace in everyone's lives. Right from the beginning, I've got 5 minutes. Right from the beginning, right until Jesus comes back again. And so we trust that what God has begun in you, God will complete. And I had to get a Spurgeon quote in, all right? Spurgeon says this. He's talking about the good work of grace that begins in all our lives as believers. He says, the work of grace has its root in the divine goodness of the Father. It is planted by the self-denying goodness of the Son, and it is daily watered by the goodness of the Holy Spirit. It springs from good, and it leads to good, and it is all together good. Yes, come on. God's work is altogether good. Birthed in goodness, kept in goodness, sustained in goodness, it's altogether good. And God has begun a good work in you, and he will complete the work that he has started. And then he says this, how Spurgeon says, how confident he is that God will complete what he has started in your life and in my life. He says this, where is there an instant of God's beginning any work and leaving it incomplete? Show me, for once, a world abandoned and thrown aside, half-formed. Show me a universe cast off from the great potter's wheel with a design in its outline, the clay half-hardened and the form unshapely from incompleteness. He's saying, when you look at what God has done, it's impossible. God always completes what he begins. And what he started in your life, he will complete perfectly. Amen? It's a work of grace from first until last. And then, also, looking forward, Paul says this. He prays of his love for these people. And he says, it's right for me to think this way about all of you because I hold you in my heart. You are all partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with a tender affection of Christ Jesus. And he uses this amazing phrase, I hold you in my heart. And whenever I think of Paul, you know, you can think of Paul the church planter. You can think of Paul the great writer of the New Testament. But when I think of Paul, the overwhelming thing that I remember about Paul is his heart. He loved people. And regardless of what you might think in terms of your opinion of Paul, when you read his letters, you always see this, a love for people, a love for God's people with great affection. And he's not ashamed to show it. He's not ashamed to say it and to demonstrate it through his life. He loved people deeply from the heart. And he says this, God is my witness regarding my deep affection for you. And Helen said it already, but I trust that every one of you that's walked through these doors feels seen and known and loved. And that you know that we love you. That we have a deep affection in our hearts for you. That every leader in this church has a deep affection in their hearts for you. And I want to continue to encourage each of you to love each other deeply from the heart. You know, love is risky because there's a chance you'll get rejected. There's a chance, and for all of you dating, find courage to keep on. Now, no matter how many times you get rejected, carry on, carry on, carry on. Find courage to love because there is one who God has set aside to love you, and you will find that person. It takes great courage to love, especially when you've been hurt. And I want to encourage you, each and every one of you, to continue to love deeply from the heart. Life is short, and we need to know love and give love away to experience the richness of the life that God has for us. Take the risk and love deeply. Love deeply from the heart. And then he says, and this is my prayer, that your love will overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you might be pure and blameless. And so Paul's idea here is that no matter how much love you have, you can always have more. No matter how much the river is flowing, let it flow more, so until it overflows. That it might be like a river, one of the theologians called Clark said this, that it might be like a river perpetually fed with rain and fresh streams, so that it continues to swell and increase until it fills all of its banks and floods the adjacent plains. Let our love overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight. And here I want to say this about love. Yes, Johnny, do you want to come up? We're going to finish. I want to say this about love. You know, our culture says love is love. It doesn't matter what kind of love you have, as long as love is love. It's all cool. I want to say to you, the Bible doesn't quite say that. It says love is love. But you know what Paul says here? He says, the kind of love that we must pursue is the love that knows to do what is right, what is perfect. It's a big difference, you see. It's not just love for love's sake. It's not just blind love. It's the kind of love that helps you have insight to determine for your life what is the best thing to do, what is the right thing to do, and to determine what really matters. That's the kind of love that God has for you and for me. And he encourages us to pursue that kind of love so that until the day of Christ, we might be pure and blameless. And here are two things. Purity speaks of inward purity that comes when you get born again. Blamelessness speaks of outward purity that people can see. And Paul says, I want both of you, those things for you. You need to be pure. You need to have a relationship with God, and you need to be blameless. I want that for you, that people will see, will be demonstrated through your life, that your hearts are changed. And you see Zacchaeus and the woman at the well, they were sinners, and everyone said, look at these sinners, and Jesus loved them and accepted them perfectly. Absolutely, would you agree? And then he still required of them to change. He still said, well, if your the inward person of the heart has been changed, let it start reflecting on the outside. What was the problem with the Pharisees? They were concerned, the Pharisees, they were concerned with the outward blamelessness without having an inward change of heart. And Jesus said, well, that's not good either. You need to, if you want to have the outward blamelessness that everyone can see, let it be motivated from an inward purity that comes from a changed heart. Both of those things. That's the kind of love we need to be growing in so that we can see a harvest of righteousness in this church. Amen. And I want to finish with John chapter 15, which has been mentioned already, which I pray for you as we look towards 2026. And as I look back, thankful for 2025. John 15:4. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered together, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to worship as we finish. There's only one that's worthy. His name is Jesus. Amen. Why don't you just raise your hands with me just as a sign of yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to God, and our thankfulness, wanting to respond to Him. Jesus, I pray this morning that you would help us to abide in you. Thank you that you are the vine. Thank you that all good things start, have their life, and end in you. And Jesus, we want to thank you for a good year in the midst of many difficult things for many people. But we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we are full of courage for what lies ahead because of what you've done for us this year. And we are grateful, Lord. And we respond with grateful hearts to say that we love you. There's only one who is worthy. His name is Jesus. Amen.